Welcome to the Entrepreneurs in Bali podcast, where the spirit of adventure meets the passion of entrepreneurship. Nestled in the heart of Indonesia's paradise island, Bali, we bring you stories of daring individuals who have woven their dreams into the fabric of this magical place. Each episode dives into the journeys of innovators and creators who have chosen Bali not just as a backdrop, but as a vital participant in their entrepreneurial voyage. From the rice fields to the surf beaches, from digital nomads to local visionaries, join us as we uncover the challenges and triumphs of building a business in Bali. Whether you're seeking inspiration, adventure, or insights into the world of entrepreneurship in one of the most beautiful settings on earth, you've found your community right here. So tune in and let's embark on this journey together. Welcome to Entrepreneurs in Bali.
Welcome to anyone listening or watching. We didn't plan on matching, so if you're watching this, it was coincidentally. So we're
meant to be.
For those that can't see us, that's just listening, we both have the exact same color t-shirt on. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll see it looks like we're matchy-matchy. Yeah. So today we have Jasper, and he's going to tell us a bit more about what he does and how he got into it and why he decided to come to Bali to do that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, my name is Jasper, 26 years old. I'm from the Netherlands. And right now I have my own recruitment company. And basically, what we do is that we provide remote jobs for people from the Netherlands, mostly in customer service. Yeah, right now we are at 120 people, all from the Netherlands. And I think 95% live abroad. And the aim for this year is to grow to 240 people. And I've been doing this now for 4 years, and I think since 1.5 years now also with a small team. So basically how I got into this is I have my master's degree in business studies. Nice. And while I was doing that, I did, like so many other people, drop shipping. Then I basically had a small team, and there was this one guy who was living in Bali, and I was looking for someone who could write my product descriptions. And basically he was willing to do the product descriptions for a rate that I was like, but that is a very low rate, right? But he said, but I live in Bali, the life here is way cheaper, so that is okay for me. And I said, okay, let's start, right? Yeah, the cooperation went very well, actually. So I already saw possibilities there. Yeah, I kept on doing the drop shipping, but that was not really my thing, because mostly at one point it was about the marketing, being creative, how to sell your products. And that is not really my thing. I noticed I'm not really good at it. So at one point I quit. I got a normal job selling solar panels, and that was during COVID times. Yeah, that time I think really made the difference for me, because there were a lot of my friends that worked at places that were shut down during COVID and still getting paid. But for me, I had to go to the office 40 hours per week still. Sure. But while I was doing that, I was thinking, oh my God, time is moving by like so fast, but I'm not really proud of what I'm doing or something like that. It was fun, actually, it was really fun, but not the thing that I wanted. So basically what I did was I did my full-time job, and next to that in the evenings and in the weekends, because there was nothing much else to do, I was focusing on setting up this new business. And basically it took me 8 months to figure everything out, also with regulations, what can you do, how can you do it. And then at one point, I started doing sales, got my first two clients, talked to my boss. I was a little bit scared. I said, I can still work in the weekends. He said, Jasper, you have two clients. If you have two clients, you can also get 10 clients. Now's the time to jump. I said, okay. So I made the jump. Here we are. Now I lived in Malaysia the last year, because my girlfriend is from there. And now I'm in Bali already 3.5 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you like it?
I love it.
Bali is really nice. Yeah. I think the listeners are probably going to get sick of me saying Bali is really nice every single podcast. Then the business, it's your own business, right?
Yeah, correct.
And when you mentioned last time when we spoke, just to give the listeners a bit of context, we met each other at the gym here at Body Factory. And we just started chatting and we just couldn't stop. So I knew that we'll be good to get Jasper on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I actually, at a point, I had to interrupt us and said, okay, wait, let's continue the chat in the podcast and not everything at once.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So just to give you guys some context about where it all came from. And there he explained to me that he's also giving other people the opportunity to be able to like quit their job and go somewhere else.
So yeah.
If there's a listener that might be interested, can you tell them a bit more about that opportunity?
Yeah, if they are from the Netherlands though, because that is how we differentiate us from the competitors. Of course, there are so many more like platforms or companies that help people get a remote job, and we are specifically focused on people from the Netherlands and more like customer service and back office work.
And what do they do? Like,
just
like phone calls?
Yeah, basically it's often a combination between like phone calls, chatting, email, and like administrative tasks like order processing or something like that. But it is of course fully digital. Yeah, of course the benefit for the companies is that they get a highly motivated Dutch employee for a somewhat lower rate. The income that we offer to our people might be a little bit of a low income in the Netherlands, but can be a really good income in the countries where they live, because the differences in the cost of living between countries already within Europe, for example, is crazy.
Yeah.
For example, like in Bali, of course, the average income is a bit hard to tell because you have so many tourists, right? But already in Eastern Europe, you have places where the average income is 500 euros. In the Netherlands, it's 3,000. Yeah. In Portugal, it's 1,100. And I have a lot of people, of course, who work from Asia. And if you then have an income of, let's say 2,000 euros, you have a great life. So that is, that is basically the idea.
Okay, so if there's someone, whether they are in the Netherlands or outside, but originally from there, they can get the opportunity and they can live in Bali or wherever they want. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I've like now 5-6 people who also work from Bali. So that is very nice. And it's just great because now I'm not really doing the job interviews myself anymore. Yes. But of course, in the beginning, I did. And the stories that people tell can be really amazing, right? Yeah. Like I have stories of a man that was, I think, between 40 and 50 years old. He had a long distance relationship with his girlfriend from the Philippines.
Sure.
And he said, my son was talking about remote work. So you're basically the first one I talk about it with. And then, basically, I think we could manage to get him a job within two, three weeks.
Yeah.
And then what we really provide is long-term jobs and quite the same hours week in, week out, because with a freelance remote jobs, you often have a lot of insecurity and at one point they just cut you off. And that is not what he was looking for, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people with him. He tried the job for 2 months. He really felt like, this is long-term. I get the consistency, I get paid. He sold his house. And started living with his Philippines girlfriend up until this day. So that is, of course, he was so happy. And you often get texts like, wow, thank you very much for creating this life for me, basically.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I had a guy, actually like an old friend of mine, grew up in the same town.
Yeah.
And he sent me an inbox the other day when I advertised, like, I'm looking for more people. Started with the sales training the one day. Then the next day he decided to do it again, just so that he knows like everything.
Yeah.
And then the same day we had a call because I offered like, if you need anything, if you have any questions, let me know and we can do a call and I can answer all these questions.
Yeah.
We had a call for like 44 minutes. He had a list of questions, but I answered everything. 2 hours, 28 minutes later, he sent me a voice note saying that he just came from a barber shop and they are interested and might take two.
No way.
Like, what?
And like, crazy.
And he, just the sound in his voice of him being so like hyped up and so excited, like it's so nice to be able to hear or see what impact you can have on other people's lives.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So cool.
Yeah, actually yesterday a friend of mine also texted me and he said, I heard you are in Bali and like how is the life there? I said, I'm not gonna lie, it is amazing,
yeah.
Right? Of course, you're on your scooter every day, the sun is shining, the people, the good food, yeah. The cheap food. If you want to party, you can party, you get great activities. You meet so many people.
Yeah.
So that is just great. And I think so many people want this, and maybe not permanently, but if you are young, it is a great adventure, of course, to live in Bali for 4 months or wherever you want.
That's the whole idea of the podcast, to try and show people that might not be actually realizing that they have this option.
Yeah,
that they can, like, they don't have to sit in one country, especially South Africa. I see so many people, they just never been outside of the borders of South Africa.
Yeah,
and I understand it's far, like, so
to
go from South Africa to Europe, it's obviously it's a whole day, 24 hours to get there.
Yeah,
so it's not like Europe where you guys just jump on a train and a few hours later you're somewhere else. So it's a bit more difficult, but still a possibility, and it's good for people to see exactly what it's like in Bali. And Bali is just an example. People can go to the Philippines or wherever. Yeah. It's just one example that we always using, but it can be anywhere where people want to. If there's, for example, someone sitting in the office, what advice would you give them? If they just scrolled their phone now and found this podcast, listened to this, what would you tell them?
With remote work, it comes in a lot of different options, actually, and they need to figure out what it is that they want. Like, for example, the easiest way to get a fully remote job is to get a little bit of a simple job, like, for example, customer service or translation work or whatever. But everything has like an advantage and a disadvantage. So I think if you do like customer service work, it is a little bit more consistent, but you are bound to certain hours. It is probably an option where you can go live abroad already within 2 months, right? You have options where you can do editing, for example. I met a lot of people that are doing editing and working remote. They have the big advantage that they also have more freedom with their time. They can often do their work whenever they want, or at least, they have way more freedom in that. But there's a little bit more risk because often the jobs are not like week in, week out, 40 hours or 32 hours, you know what I'm saying? So that is another option. And the third option is to start your own company. Like, for me, I like to have enough money, right? I don't want to live in a very small place, or I want to be able to travel wherever I want, do activities. Like, if I meet people, and then I say, let's go to midget golf, or let's go to an elephant sanctuary, but the price is, let's say, $100. And they're like, then I think, you're not really getting the full experience. You know what I'm saying? So I think people have to think about what they want, what makes them happy. I would say, if you're not very sure if you will like living abroad, then like the simpler option, do whatever you can do, like customer service. But if you can do editing, the rates are often way higher. Then you can pretty quickly just go and see if it is something for you. At the other hand, I also think, like, you are still working. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's really a big difference if you are on a workation or a holiday. So if you are having a good job in the Netherlands or wherever, you can also just save and go. And that is a totally different experience. So you gotta see for yourself what you like. But I think it is definitely always worth finding out something like this. And I hear people, like, they have a very good job where they're from. But then I think, will you ever regret living abroad? Like, I never heard anyone say, I went to Bali and it was terrible, man. Or it was not really what you expected. It was fun for, let's say, 2-3 months. And then you found out, actually, I like where I'm from. Yeah. So I don't mind staying there and just going on a holiday. But it is worth figuring out, because you hear so many examples of people that go abroad for a long time because they can also work there, for example. And then, it really opens up their eyes about something. Like, I remember when I went to Bali for the first time 1.5 years ago, I had my company already, so I was working in co-working spaces. And I was sitting in front of this girl, I think she was German, well, a woman. Yeah, she was wearing flip-flops and like a swimming gear, and her hair was a bit messy. She was laughing, sipping out of her coconut. And then we started talking, and she had like multiple
yeah.
businesses, and I think it was just, I think, a multi-millionaire, something like that. And yeah. she was just there working yeah. on her flip-flops. And yeah, then my idea of, okay, you people that are rich are like in an office with yeah. a big group of stuff they have to manage, stressed, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? But she's just here. And then I thought, that is just one, because if you go to our gym, yeah. you hear so many stories of yeah people that have successful businesses there, or that is just amazing. You see the possibilities, and then you can find out for yourself, like, I want this or I don't want this. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. When I decided to come to Bali, I actually looked at like all the options, for example, like gym, but not just gym, also co-working space and all of that. And I decided to go not necessarily for the most expensive one, but for the one that looks the best. Yeah. Because I know, almost when I say, the better people is going to be there. I don't want to talk down on anybody.
I've exactly 100% said.
But yeah. for example, like Body Factory, it is the most expensive gym in Bali, but you can speak to any person that comes yeah. sit next to you, and yeah. you'll meet some amazing people.
Yeah,
everyone with like that same mindset, and that's also what I love about Bali. You can literally go around any corner and you'll find a super interesting person. Yeah. It's not like in other countries where if you start to talk to a stranger, they're like, why yeah. are you talking to me?
Very
like,
open to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. The moment when you start to speak, it's just like, hey,
yeah,
another friend.
True. Like like what I heard, because also when you are here, some people really lived in a lot of places, mm-hmm. like in Dubai, also very popular, for yeah. example. What I hear is that they find this place really chill, yeah. laid back. And yeah, I actually did the same why I chose that gym, because it's really expensive, especially for Bali. But then I thought, yeah, it would be very cool, inspiring to meet other entrepreneurs, yeah. right? And it is crazy. Like, I met so many DJs, yeah. famous entrepreneurs from the Netherlands, sure. people that are in like the Dutch Shark Tank. Do you know that show?
Dragon.
The Dragon's Den. And I saw this guy, and he has like $180 million yes. dollars. And I saw him training with his son, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool to be surrounded yeah. by these people. But of course, yeah, I will never look down on other people. But for me, like, talking to you, you can really a bit on the same mindset, mm. the same lives. If I talk to you, then immediately I think, okay, I want to get back to work. You know what I'm saying?
yeah. Like the other people in the gym as well. It's not just like financial, but it's also like workout. They're also super focused. Like the one yeah. guy, I met him, I think actually like at the exact same table where I met you. He's just in the gym every single day, but he's like on the cycle, but I think he does it like professionally.
Yeah.
So cycling off road or something, he said. I can go into the gym now, I'll promise you, he's going to be on the cycle. And when I when I leave an hour or two later, you will still be on the cycle.
Yeah, it's
crazy, and it's massive.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually how we started talking. And he had like massive calves, and I'm like, not struggling, but I'm working hard on my calves and legs. And I just had to tell him, like, wow, dude, you have massive calves. Yeah. It's like probably as big as my head.
Yeah. Whoa, huge. Crazy. Like,
but it's obviously from cycling all day.
Every day.
So
crazy
the
legs.
Whole mindset of the people. But I guess that mindset, you need that to be successful as well. If you don't have that mindset, you're never going to become successful.
I think you need to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Well, crazy in a good way, of course. Like, I think I work pretty hard, but in comparison to a lot of people that I met, I'm nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I met so many entrepreneurs, and I was talking, and then I always ask, like, how much do you work? Yeah, just 7 days. Always. And I'm like, oh yeah, for me, I do like a little bit of a balance that makes me the happiest. So I like to get up in the morning at like 9 or 10, maybe read something. Then I want to do like the difficult work for 2-3 hours, because you can be really productive and not messaged yet, because my working times are from like 3 to midnight, actually, because I work a European time zone. Then I want to go to the gym, and then I continue working. So yeah, so how many hours do you work? Still like 60. Mostly I have my weekends off. But all these guys don't really have that. But I think at a certain point, you don't really need more money, right? So why do you want to work as hard as you're doing, right? And yeah, I think for that, you really need to make yourself a little bit crazy or something like that. If it is what you want, like, okay, why do I want to be there? And then, for me, I just start thinking, okay, if I reach this goal, then I'm going to take my parents here. If I reach this goal, I'm going to buy this for myself or something like that. And then, that really keeps me motivated. And I also think, if I'm working, why would I not be growing? You know what I'm saying? I'm working either way. So I think you are doing something that often a lot of people also want. They want the money, they want the freedom. But I think outworking them is just key. I remember when I did drop shipping, we went to like a gathering. So I went with four guys in the car, we went there. And I have my master's degree, right? The highest education. And all these guys that I was in the car with didn't have it at all. And like they were talking and they didn't sound like the smartest people in the world. But everyone was outperforming me like crazy. Yeah. Like I didn't make any money while I was doing it as long as they were doing it. And they were making like, big numbers already. And I was thinking, hey, like what am I doing wrong? But then their mentality, like I was super focused on, okay, how can I make this picture look nice and this and that? And they were like, I'm testing 30 pictures a day. You don't want to take like a word. So it's really, that really opened up my eyes because there was just one example. But afterwards, I really saw it more and more that the bold, so to say, that people just go for it, all in, focused, a little bit obsessed, so to say.
You have to.
They will beat you no matter if you are a little bit more clever. It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
So that was, I think, also very good because that just gives the opportunity to everyone.
Yeah.
That is just amazing. And I also noticed that like in the gym, people that, because it's also often about consistency, right? Day in, day out, being there, showing up every day. I see a little bit of a correlation with people that also go to the gym. Because if you have the discipline to go to the gym and maybe also be disciplined about your food, then I think I would want to test this once, that they are, they have a higher chance of also being more successful in their business because they have that mindset of being consistent, being disciplined, hardworking every day. That is what I really noticed. And from that point on, I also thought, okay, your degree is no guarantee, right? You just gotta work hard. But and I did. I had the times where I worked my ass off, so to say.
That's good. To touch on the gym, like in May month, so that's in 2 months, the 5th, then it's going to be exactly 10 years that I've been, that since the day I signed up to the gym, like my first contract up until now. I obviously did go to the gym before in school, but not as focused. And I believe like that contract I'll have for the rest of my life, even though I haven't gone to that same gym for like 2 years now because it's in South Africa. But
yeah,
I'll continue to keep that contract, and it's kind of like a certificate for myself for like, this is my like commitment and everything. And the biggest reason why I go to the gym, obviously the muscles is a plus, but the biggest thing is not to train my muscles, but to actually train like the consistency, to the dedication, the delayed gratification, like all those things in the back of your head. And almost any successful entrepreneur will tell you that their workout and their exercise and health is a key factor for their like success in their business. And as you said, it has so much to do with business.
Yeah, so 100%.
To show up every single day, not expecting results the same day, but knowing that in the long run, this will result to something.
Yeah,
all those days, that's exactly the same as business. You have to put in the work every single day, take a loss for a few months maybe, just put in the work, in the work, knowing that after 6 months or depending on the business, it will turn to be profitable and it will all be worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, you can get your results faster. Mm-hmm. That is also the case in the business. But if you see someone that is like muscular, you know he put in the work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way around it or something like that. So I think that is, I always like the sight of having the muscles. And just working out is good. Like before, now I don't really run as much anymore because it's just too hot.
Yeah.
But I remember that if I had any problems, yeah, with the company, and then I would just be like, okay, just leave it for a while and then start running. I come back, the dopamine that is released, you are so happy, more positive, and then that just helps. I think if you are always, it's something different to keep your mind off a little bit in a good way. So I think a recommendation for everyone.
How far do you used to run then? Like 5Ks or?
Yeah, 5Ks, not longer. I don't like, I'd rather go a little bit shorter, but then faster than too long. I would be bored.
Yeah. When I was in school, I used to run a lot.
Yeah, but same. I used to be fast
anymore.
Now. No, not anymore. No, true. Yeah, that is the downside of the muscle. It becomes slower.
Yeah. That, but also like my knees and my lower back got so bad after a while from the impact the whole time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just decided it's not good for my knees and my back, so I'd rather do weight training.
Yeah.
And weight training is proven to be a lot healthier than any other exercise you can do. Like even to do cardio is good, but ideally you want to have a little bit of a balance. They've said that if you have to choose one over the other, then it's going to be weightlifting.
Hmm. So what is your goal in your lifestyle? What do you want to accomplish?
So it was to quit my job.
So
I've done that.
Yeah.
But now, like also something you mentioned earlier about giving yourself a goal, and when you reach that, to reward yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a toxic version of that because I give myself punishments.
Oh yeah. Oh.
So I told myself, like, I, and this was back in like 2 years ago, told myself when I left South Africa back to work, I told myself I'm not allowed to go back to South Africa before I've quit my job and like stopped, and then I started working.
Yeah.
And I was like working in the day,
you worked hard
at night. Just like slamming through, continuing working the day again, working at night again for myself, and that motivated me, and that definitely helped me speed up the process a lot. If I didn't push that hard, probably would have took me like 4 or 5 years, but now it just took 2 years. Then I came here. Now I have to go for my sister's wedding in May South Africa.
Yeah.
But I actually also told me that I can only go to South Africa now if I can buy myself a supercar.
Oh.
So now I'm still working, but I have to go anyway.
Yeah, of course.
My sister's wedding, I can't miss that.
So I'll
go for that. And then come back again and then work for that supercar and then go.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I gotta say I have a little bit of the same, but I think the mild version, and I also did it now. What I always do is, like I told you, I have 120 people now, but immediately I say, and the aim for this year is to reach 240. Yes. I'm telling that to everyone.
That's good. Yeah,
so
that's
that is
good.
Already like, how do you say it, like a part of my identity that people think, okay, he is going to reach the 240, and then if I wouldn't reach it, I would feel guilty because I told everyone already that I would reach it, and maybe one or two will ask me about it. Did you reach 240? I'm like, shit, I didn't reach it, but I think I'm going to reach it. I think it's good to set the goals. I also like the rewards I set for my goals are not necessarily things I cannot buy now, but it's just, if you just give, I think it's nicer to give yourself like a reward for something that you did than just buy it for yourself. Then it's really like I earned it or something like that. So I remember earlier I also set some goals. So I gave my parents a trip to Peru, and it was their first time outside of Europe in 30 years.
Yeah.
So that was really amazing to be able to do. And now in 3 weeks, I'm going to New York with my sister because she also helped me out with my business once. And it will be her first time outside of Europe ever.
Yeah.
And USA is like her dream country. So that will be amazing. And I have a younger sister that I want to bring somewhere once. I'm not going to reveal the surprise. I already know where I'm going to bring her. But yeah, I think stuff like that is worth working hard for.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, you can do it all, but then you'll be spending all your money. That is also not good. So it keeps me motivated, and I think that is an amazing to be able to do such things. Of course,
it's the feeling more than the experience, in my opinion.
Yeah
To be able to know that you've helped this person to do that, or even just the quality time that you get to spend with them in America or wherever.
yeah True. And actually, for me, my girlfriend is then from Malaysia, but she also has multiple companies. Yeah, business legend, I would say. She's also yeah, a little bit famous. And she's actually a very different entrepreneur than I am. Like, she thinks way bigger than I do. Way more impulsive, way more fast. I'm a little bit more calculated, right? Actually, she's been doing her business already for 10 years. Sure. And she used to earn a lot, and now still a lot, but the numbers before were like crazy. And she really opened up my eyes also in terms of, how do you, why do you need all that money? Like, you can really spend it on things that can make a lot of other people happy. And in that way, also will make you feel fulfilled. So she also, like, just now we went to Phuket, she brought all her stuff, 50 people, including her family. And for those people, what you said, like in South Africa, a lot of people never cross the border. In Malaysia, it's the same. So to be able to give that to the people that you work with every day is amazing. She does a lot of charity. She's going here into Bali, reaching out food to people. So also when we are traveling, she always has, like, doesn't need to be big, but already, let's say, $100, $200 that you spend on people that are having troubles, right? I think it's actually crazy that if people are making money and they buy, I don't know, an expensive bag or a supercar, and if you then see
guilty.
If you then see, sometimes you see a guy here walking and he's carrying like a small food truck or so to say, and there was this week, and he had his shirt torn and everything, his flip-flops were broken. So I gave him one of the thousands, $7, and he's so happy. And I think if you don't do that while you spend your money on bags, like, you don't need to give all your money to these people, of course, but just every now and then, that is just human, I think. I remember also the first time I came to Bali, when I left home, I was in my my Grab, and it was this guy, and he was working. I said, what time do you finish? He said, until 11 p.m. or something like that. I said, what time did you start? 8 a.m. I was like, whoa, that is a long day. I said, why do you work so much? Because he was like my age, 25. And then he said, actually, my dad passed away. And the funerals in Bali are very long and very expensive. I don't know if you know that. Also, because the dad earned the money, right? Because they had, of course, a lot of kids, and the mom took care of the kids. So what do? All your income is gone. So they had to leave their home almost, unless they paid the rent, blah, blah, blah. So he was working his ass off to do that. I had my last rupiahs in my wallet. So I gave basically everything to him. It wasn't a lot. I think it was $40 or something like that. He started crying.
For him, it's a lot.
Yeah, for him, it's a lot. Yeah, so he was crying and he said, oh, thank you, brother. He called his mom. He said, mom, he just gave me this and this. And the mom immediately said, invite him for dinner. Invite him for dinner. I said, yeah, I have to catch my plane. Otherwise, it would be amazing if so to go. But I think to give is just, if that doesn't make you happy, what does make you happy? So I think if people also say, like, money doesn't buy happiness, I think that's very true at a certain point. Like, I think, happiness often comes from within, right? And having your friends, family, and everything. But yeah, stuff like this is just amazing to do, to be able to do. So I think worth every second of the hard work for me.
I've heard like a couple of different quotes and stuff about that. Money doesn't buy happiness. The one person once told me that obviously money can't buy happiness, but they will much rather cry in a hotel than cry sitting at home. So
true.
That, and then also there was one that said, money can't buy happiness, but it can definitely make it a lot easier. Which also,
that is definitely true. Like, I remember, for example, when I lived in the Netherlands, just a normal wage, right? Nothing wrong about that. But I remember that, for example, I had to get my car fixed, and then it was like, 400 or 500 euros, and you feel like, so that's a lot, right, for you in that time. And now I remember my dad, because I still have my car in the Netherlands, small car though, but very convenient. If I come home, I also have my car and my gym membership still running, so that it will go straight. But car had to be for the yearly checkup. And also the price was 500 euros. And now, I was a bit laughing about it because they had to change the engine. And I said, change the engine? Why change the engine? But okay. And I think you have a lot of times, also when you're traveling, maybe you need to buy a visa, you always have those extra costs. And if every time you feel like, this is more expensive than I thought or something like that, then that is a little bit of unhappiness, right? And now you can just take it more, better, and that makes life easier, a little bit less stressful. I remember when my grandma passed away last year, I was able to book a flight straight that same night. Of course, if you buy that short notice, it can be very expensive. It was very expensive. And then you just go. I remember I was in Qatar in the prison once for 24 hours. Terrible, terrible. Yeah, basically I forgot passport in the airplane and I was the last one to leave the airplane. And then I went to the toilet and I was like, my passport. So I wanted to go back in, but I didn't know what gate because everything was closed, right? So I went to this guy and I said, do you know where the plane from Amsterdam is, right? And he was like, he didn't understand English. He wasn't really willing to help also. So I saw a stewardess. I said, do you know where the plane from Amsterdam is? And she said, gate E7. And then this guy's go, you cannot go in. You need to go to the transfer desk. But I only had 1 hour transfer. I thought before my passport is there, I will miss my flight, right? So then, I was running. I see gate E7. So I thought. So I went in into a door that you cannot open. So I go into the plane. It was not the plane. I really see it on the floor like, hey, this is not the plane. Okay. So I went up. So the security guard was there in the door. And I said, sorry. I know I need to get my passport transfers 1 hour. So then I went past him, but I touched him a little bit. So he said, I said, sorry, I'm going to the transfer. Sorry. And then I think he was okay. But then while I was running, I looked to the left. I see gate E7. 100% sure my passport was in there. I said, I need my passport. Sure. Because if you lose your passport, that is terrible, man. Yeah. So I went in and they were cleaning. I said, do you have my passport? Oh, there you go. And I took my passport. And then, two guys were waiting for me at the door. They said, you have to wait. I said, sorry, guys. I told you my passport. I need to get my flight, blah, blah, blah. Elevator comes up. I think 10, 11 cops. Yes. And then I was thinking, and then, it's really terrible to be in prison. Like you are really, their bitch, so to say. You cannot do anything. It's constantly like, you can leave in 45 minutes. 2 hours later, I said, I could leave 45 minutes, right? Actually the guy is in the traffic jam. So we will come back to you in 3 hours. Then they change shift. 2 hours later, they will come to you. Why are you here, actually? But like, my God. And I was with all these guys in a small cell, cockroaches everywhere. Yeah. And then, it was constantly like this. I had to see the ministry. I had to explain my situation. I almost had to go to, I had to go into the country with handcuffs. Terrible. Crazy. I was really a bit traumatized with that. And then I remember, I came to the airport. And also from there, I had to buy a flight and like the flights were crazily expensive. But I said, I need to have the first flight out of here, right?
And that's all to go to your grandmother. Was that a different?
A different one. Yeah.
Imagine that was like for the funeral.
Exactly. But also there, if you don't have money, like that's really painful. You cannot take a hit or less, right? And now you're like, okay, boom, I need to get. So it makes life more convenient. This is a bit of an extreme example, of course, but just so many of these things in everyday life. And it also brings fun. Like you can go to a gym like this with a pool, with an ice bath, with a sauna. It's just amazing, I would say, right?
I feel like it's almost the smallest things that makes the biggest impact. For example, like I remember way back in the day when I was still like just living in South Africa and just working there with like a low salary.
What is the salary there then?
Oof, next to nothing. Like it's probably the same as here in Bali, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
It's so low. I think I can be wrong. Haven't been there for 2 years, but I think the minimum wage might be 6,000 rand, which is like 300 euros a month. That's nothing.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Ooh. Oh, crazy. Yeah,
like,
that is.
And there, back then, there was a time when I was, okay, but this is like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. There was a time when I got paid like 4,000 rand a month. That's 200 euros. So that's nothing. But that time I'm like, okay, first job. This is nice. I get my own salary. I felt like I was doing good.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
I'm getting rich.
Yeah. Then I got a promotion, like 50 bucks extra a month. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
50 euros, like 1,000 rand extra. And I'm like, wow.
I
feel like it's a small things, like being able to go to the store and just buy whatever you want. Like,
true.
I remember the times when we're like checking prices. Okay, this one is cheaper than that one, so I'll take this one.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, just take whatever you want. If you don't want it, you don't take it. If you want it, you take it.
Yeah.
True. You don't even know the price. You tap at the end, but it's all you.
Yeah.
You won't even care unless if she tells you.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That is just so nice. And my birthday is coming up a couple of weeks. And I want to bring my whole family for dinner or something like that. It's not crazily expensive or something like that. But I really feel proud if I can do something like that. I remember in Malaysia, the family of my girlfriend is very big. And I brought them all for dinner because we were leaving to Bali, right? And I said, I'll pay, right? And then everyone's like, whoa, hey, he pays, right? That is just, and just what you say, all the small things. I don't even know what I spend every month. Exactly. I have no idea. That is just convenience to be able to get drinks in a club or stuff like that. That is just great.
Like the other day I went to buy ice cream, put a few down, and the guy said, this one is 40,000. I'm like, okay, why? I'm like, because obviously for him, he feels like what people don't know it's this much, so he needs to warn them because they might not want it since it is so expensive just for an ice cream. But for other people, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's 100,000, I want it. I don't mind.
Yeah.
But there's also obviously a level where it's like not stupid money. Like the one time in Cape Town, actually, an ex-girlfriend of mine, we went to like a bookshop and she wanted to buy one of those like adult coloring books, that fancy flower things.
Yeah.
And she took a book and like a small packet of like pencils. And when we like paid, I think the book was like maybe 200 rand. When we went to pay, they said it's like 500 rand. I'm like, what? Why is it 500 rand? Then they said the pencils is 300 rand. I'm like, yes, sir. Just for a packet of pencils.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm like, no, keep the pencils. We'll go to a different place.
We
bought the book, and at a different place, a big packet we bought for like 50 rand.
Yeah.
So there's also a point where it's like you have to still consider what is acceptable.
I still have my principles though, even though like my girlfriend can sometimes be hating on me, but if I just see they are charging me a way higher price, then I think you don't deserve it. I'd rather just pay a normal price and then give the extra money to someone else. If someone is trying to cheat me or something like that, because for example, if you go on trips, lately we went to watch dolphins and there was this guy in the boat. I always give something in the end, like a tip or something like that, but it's got to be fair, right? So I think that is also good. What did my friend say? I think in the Netherlands the saying is a little bit better, but if you don't respect the money, then you don't earn the money or something like that. You don't deserve the money or something like that. And I think that is actually good. Like just if you have it, you don't spend it like crazy.
Personally, some people might disagree with me, but I don't like to give money to like homeless people.
Oh yeah?
I
do.
I rather give to people that actually like make work. My life easier. So for example, like the guy that parks a scooter here, for them I'll give cash. Like anywhere where somebody actually helps me, there I help, because I've heard so many cases of, for example, in London, there's people that's banned from begging on the street because they're multimillionaires from begging. They make much more money by begging than they would have made by actually doing a job. So for those kind of cases, I only give to people that actually make my life easier and not Just a random guy on the street.
That one is difficult because I also heard from a girlfriend that like in Malaysia you have loan sharks, right? So if people cannot get a loan from a bank anymore and they're also not really friends or family anymore that can help them, you can always go to the loan shark where you can get money for a crazy return. But yeah, if you don't have food already for 3 days, you need money to buy food. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't pay them, they do like the craziest measures. Like they take your child, cut off the leg, put him on the street, right? Yeah, it's cruel. And yeah, like there are people, beggars, that are then, if you give them money, it's going to them. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't get any of that money. But I think, what if, because when was it last week? I was on my scooter and saw a blind man, like at the side of the street.
Okay. Yeah. Unless if it's faking, but...
you see the eyes, right? Okay. So I gave him, what is it, 20,000 rupiah. How much is that? I don't know. And then what if he's then really blind and you are there and people are not even giving you anything? When I was in China, I also saw a woman burnt, right? And there's so many people walking past by. No one gave anything. Like, what can this woman do? Yeah, for me, it's also like a risk. What if she's really in need? And then, I often give. Not like big amounts because, you don't know, but always a little bit. Because you don't even feel it yourself. So, maybe it goes to other people. Maybe they're a multimillionaire, but... Even if she's a multimillionaire and she's burnt, I would still feel a little bit pity. So.
That's why I said a lot of people will disagree with me. Like, and I know like Tony Robbins, in almost all of his books, he also like promotes giving so much. Like he says, like you should donate as much as you can because it all comes down like to like the mentality that you get from that.
Yeah.
It helps you to build your name and make yourself feel better. That you are able to help more people and then you want to strive for more so that you can help even more, and it's all like a snowball effect. But I just feel like I work so hard for my money, so I'm not just going to give it away to the first person asking for it. So
I'll give it
for people that helps me. It's part of my community, if I can say it like that I see every single day.
For example, my friend, he's from Sri Lanka, and he went there, and it was, I think, an uncle or something from him. And what was it? Yeah, he had to take care of his mother, and he also had a little son, but his income was $200 or something like that. But there was maybe some other people that he had take care of, but I'm not sure. And now my friend actually gives him every month, I think, what is it, $100 or $200. And actually yesterday I saw in his Instagram story that like this guy, his uncle is sending like text messages every week, every month about the progress. Like the son is now going to school and we're having this food and stuff like that. Yeah, that is just amazing to be able to do. And I think with your family, you know their stories, so if you can help them out. Like for me, it would also be the same. Now I have this money, and then later on, if my parents or my sisters or good friends would be in trouble, I will always be there for them, right? That is just a no-brainer for me. Of course, I'm not scared that they will take advantage of me or anything, because we're going way back. But that is just... a good thing to do, I think.
I definitely agree. Thank you. Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies. Yeah, thank you very much for having me again. It was a pleasure. My first podcast ever.
Nice. My fifth one. But it's nice. I like podcasting. It's basically just a conversation. So
100%.
Just exactly. I actually wish that we had a camera or something the day at the gym, because that one was so fascinating. Just like this one, but that one is all about business.
True.
I love that, and I know you do too.
And fun how it was created, because I was sitting outside and then it started raining and then I wanted to go in with my food and there was no table. You were like, oh, you can sit here. And then here we are. Crazy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything. You.